That's the great John Anderson, the lead singer of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame band Yes.
Oh, you love Yes.
I do love Yes, coming at you here. Oh, it's the DGS.
More like the DG Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Dave Glover is out today. Rachel is out today. Kevin Wheeler is out today. But you got the next best. Well, you've got me. John Hancock, I'm going to be with you for the next 4 hours. Ron's very happy to have you here today.
Well, come on, it's like we've never done this before.
I know. Yeah, but I'm in the big boy chair today.
I know. Yeah. Isn't
this weird?
First of all, I don't like the big boy chair.
I do like the big boy chair.
Why don't you like it?
I want it to be the same level as every other one. I don't like being higher than
he's so humble.
Well, he is.
It's not humility. It's just... And I don't really think much of myself, to be honest, but it's not that. It's just it's like an awkward feel when you're raised up and everybody else is like 2 feet below where you. I don't like it.
Well, you know, Lyndon Johnson had his desk and chair lifted up so that he would have meetings in the Oval Office.
So did Letterman.
Interesting.
Yeah, but I think pretty much all the talk show hosts do that. Like Letterman and Conan, although Conan was tall anyway, but Letterman was known for having a few inches taller.
My
on
problem
his set.
Is I have no torso.
You're all legs.
It's all legs. And yeah. I got some long legs, man. Yeah.
What's your inseam?
Well, that's pretty personal.
Well, no kidding.
I think it's about a 34 there, big boy.
Well, that is really long.
Yeah, yeah. And that's why it was such a horrible thing when I wore Junior's pants by accident one day.
Did you hear the story, Andrew?
No.
Oh, my God.
So, you know, Georgian likes to sleep in the morning.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Who among us?
And I try to be considerate and not rustle her out of her much well-earned slumber.
Mm.
So you go into the closet there, and I pretty much know where stuff is. You got shirts over here. You got your sweaters over there. And right there in the middle, you got your slacks. So I'm feeling around one morning, and feels like a pant to me. So I pull that sucker out and I put it on, put the old lace up the old belt, because without that, everybody's surprised.
Oh, yeah.
And then,
I get you.
And then, you know, I come downstairs, feed the dog, and on my way to KMOX. And I walk in, and who should I see? None other than Amy Markscores, who apparently looks down at everybody.
Yeah.
This is correct.
She says, "What is up with those pants? They're like in the middle of my thigh." I mean, I looked down and thank goodness I had long socks on that day. It was not good. And so here, I'm not going back to Chesterfield to change my pants. You know?
Bavarian.
So that was bad.
Tuba player.
That was bad. But all of that is to say, I have no torso, and that's why I like sitting up. We get on the set, you know, we got that show on Channel 2 on Sunday morning, and we're all the same height. Andy Banks, you're a little taller, but, you know, Michael's 6'3", I'm 6'1", but they put those chairs down, and I look like I'm about, you know, a 12-year-old next to these guys, because I have no torso. It's horrible. And to make matters worse, so they got these high chairs,
yeah,
you know, at the fancy television studio. So you yank that sucker all the way. Man, it's way up there. You can't, you know, your feet can't touch the floor. It's bad. But you're up there. You're high. And the problem is, apparently, due to my weight, when I sit down, the chair sinks about 6 inches. It won't hold its position. And so it's very uncomfortable. I'm not happy about it. And I got to lose this weight, Ronge.
Well,
you've done a fine job.
Chris, do you remember?
It's fine.
Chris, do you remember when Amy was fat shaming me on the show?
She fat shames everybody,
and I was getting upset about it. Like, genuinely, I was getting a little upset about it.
What the heck happened?
And then I don't remember. This was like months ago.
She does this,
but I was running the board that day, so I was sitting here.
Yeah.
And I leaned back in this chair, and do you remember the chair like cracked and?
Yeah.
It was like right after I got all mad and reproachful about the fat shaming. I leaned back in the chair and goes, bonk!
Yes.
And I like fell 6 inches and crashed.
Oh, man. That's not good. That's not good, Andrew. Could you get a workers' comp claim out of that thing, I wonder?
No, because I didn't fall on the ground, unfortunately.
Oh.
Do you think you could go to HR about Amy?
That's a good question. No, because it's Steve.
That's true.
If we had an actual...
He'd be like, get over it.
If we had an actual HR, he'd be like, I have so many more important things to worry about.
That guy does have a lot of worries on him.
He really does.
He does. He's got a lot going on.
Today, who's in their position? Ranji and Andrew, you may be the only two people in their actual position today.
That's true. Everybody's off.
Maria's in for Michael Calhoun.
Yeah.
Although he's out and about covering stuff. But you had Brad Young was in for Michael and me this morning. Michael's got the COVID.
Yeah, it's not his fault.
Yeah, but
although he's been canoodling with gross people, I guess.
He canoodles a lot. Yeah. And there's a whole lot of canoodling going on over there, you know, and you hate to talk about it on the radio, but he's a canoodler.
Well.
And so he's on this, I'm sure with the COVID, he's got the ventilator. He's going to join us in the 2 o'clock hour today.
Oh, so that'll he's powering through.
He is powering through. He's just that kind of guy. How was your show today, Raj? You have fun? Nate?
Yeah, Nate Gatter and I, we killed it today.
Young, handsome Nate Gatter. He's, what is he, about 23 years
old? How old is he for real?
I think he's like 25.
Yeah.
Or wait, 26? I don't know.
How old were you when you got just in the radio business there, big boy?
Your master's.
My master's. So I started a little late. I went to grad school because I wasn't exactly sure what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like I'm trying to further my education and expand my mind. It was, I don't know what I want to do.
Yeah, so keep going to school.
I kept going to school for 2 more years. I think I started at the score I was 24 or 5.
Oh, and yeah, that was in Chicago.
Yeah.
At the score.
Yeah.
What were they doing at the score? Sports. Go out on a limb and
assume. Yeah, sports. It was the, when I started, it was the Blackhawk station.
Ooh.
Bears were on the sister station, but KMOX, WBBM.
Yep.
It's a news station.
Sure.
Yeah, that's what they did.
Well, that's fun.
Talked a lot of sports.
You were there for a while then, huh?
I was.
Yeah.
Almost 15 years.
Wow.
It's a long time.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then you came here.
Now I'm back home.
You're on the all sports station here over at ESPN.
That's right. Yeah.
I remember. That's the first time I ever ran across
you. Is that right?
Yeah, I used to listen to your show. You were good.
Yeah, well, thanks.
I mean,
you were good. Yeah.
Well, I mean, great on sports. I am impressed by how good you are at this, keeping up with the issues and what's going on and knowing the facts, a genuine interest level in current events. And,
you know, honestly, I think when I was working sports, this would get me into trouble a little bit because I would pay so close attention to... newsy issues, and then I would give my opinions on those, Twitter or whatever, and you'd get a lot of hey, stick to sports. No, I don't know, like, well, when you say stick to sports to me, or any, you hear that a lot. That's a criticism of athletes, of any broadcaster,
Taylor
anybody.
Swift, Taylor recently Swift recently in the news.
Hey, there's one truth every time somebody tells. A celebrity, a broadcaster, an athlete, whatever, to stick to sports.
Yes.
It's always an opinion they disagree with.
Well, of course.
It's never an opinion they agree with. They don't really mean stick to sports. They mean if you're going to not stick to sports, say something that I agree with.
Yeah.
Well, that's 100% the case.
That is 100% the case. And I don't mind. I really don't mind people having opinions. I mean, isn't that what this is all about?
I agree with you. My feeling on it is if you're a celebrity or, you know, one of the people we're talking about, it is absolutely okay for you to have an opinion and to give your opinion. I just ask that you're thoughtful about it. That's
it. Yeah. But
that you've really thought it through.
The great thing about this country, you don't have to be thoughtful.
No, you don't. You don't. But that's.
You can have the most ridiculous opinions.
You're right.
And many people do out there. Some of you, and you know who you are, that have these ridiculous
opinions. Actually,
no, opinions.
They don't.
No, I think they do.
You think some people know that
they're... I think there are people that like being ridiculous.
Oh, well, yeah, that's probably
true. You know? And there's some people that are just contrarians that they'll argue with you. My brother-in-law is that way. He'll start you have no idea whether he has a sincerely held belief or he's just poking you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's how that rolls. And once you figure that out, then I get along great with him. But there for a while, we've been together for a lot of Thanksgivings over the years. I'll tell you that. So that's Chris Ranji. I'm John Hancock. It is, however, the DGS. Let me tell you about my friends. I don't have any friends.
Us.
This is the place where Dave would tell you about his friends. And he's got all these friends out there that he talks about during the course of the show. I have no friends to talk about today, but Check around. Check this out. Listen to this. Andrew, Chris Ranji, and I will be back after this on KMOX. Welcome back to the DGS. John Hancock in for Dave Glover. The whole gang will be back here on Monday, so have no fear. You just have to endure me for the next 3.5 hours, and we can get through this together. Chris Ranji has been kind enough to join me as well. And Andrew Stoltz, the outstanding producer of this show, is the only member. It's like the last remaining member of the Beatles is in the house. Now, they still have two remaining members of the original four. But someday...
Nobody cares about Paul anymore.
Ringo.
What? He's not doing too much.
Well, he tours.
Getting in fights with people.
Who's he getting in fights with?
I don't remember. He was a big jerk to somebody not pretty recently.
Oh, really?
Paul McCartney. That. Huh. I do remember him not getting into a party. I think it was like a post-Grammys party or something. It was a couple of years ago. And he was with somebody else famous, and they rolled up, and there's video of it, and the bouncer's like, no. And everyone's like, do you know who that is? And the bouncer's like some younger dude who had no idea. Like, it's like freaking Paul McCartney, bro.
Well,
like,
did they eventually let him in?
I want to say they left and went somewhere else.
Here's the thing, because I've seen this before. This happened to Jamie Foxx one time. Jamie Foxx rolled up to a club, and of course, if Jamie Foxx is rolling up to your club, you let in Jamie Foxx.
Well, there you go. Yes,
and he got bounced because the bouncer didn't know who he was.
Wow!
So he got bounced, and then like the club owner and the manager and all came like running out to try and apologize, and he's like, "Nah, you bounced me. I'm leaving. You bounced me from a club. I'm not coming in there."
Actually, though, sometimes it's good. I would imagine somebody of that ilk kind of appreciates not being recognized every place they go.
Jamie Foxx definitely didn't.
Getting recognized.
Well, yeah, I think there's a difference between being under the radar and going into a place where you have to have some status to get in and they don't recognize your status.
Well, yeah, no, I get that.
And they're like, no, sorry.
That would be the one time you definitely do want to get recognized is when you're trying to, like,
I don't know.
status your way into a party.
I don't like being recognized. I'm a very minor little teeny, but I'm at the park with Tula and my 2-year-old granddaughter. Did I tell you about this, Ryan?
I think so, yeah.
So I'm at the park with Tula. Lovely day. Faust Park, I believe it was. The Butterfly House.
What a blast.
And so,
200 acres or something, that park
It's a
is.
Lovely place.
Sue Thomas was just telling us about
that. So we wanted to play Grandpapa. Oh, yes, let's go to the place. So we're running for So she says, Papa, come this way. And so she starts ascending the staircase there, the little metal staircase. And she's going to, Papa's right. I'm right behind you, sweetheart. And we get to the landing there, the top of the landing. And she's excited. And she goes through. They've got these, I don't know, they're about 5 feet high, these little narrow little arches that are about 8 inches wide. And Tula goes right underneath that little arch, you know. Come this way, Papa. So I got to squeeze this. I got to squeeze this stuff through that little archway. There's another one. So underneath the thing, I'll be right there. We get through the second archway. Then there's a monkey bridge. And I'm thinking, no. And she said, come this way, Papa. I know, Tula. You know what? I think that's probably a bridge too far. And so I pick her up, and she starts crying. She's screaming, bridge. And I'm too like, you know, Papa, it's just not going to happen. So now I got the baby in my arms, and there's that damn archway. So I hold her through the archway, trying not to drop the baby, and I squeeze my stuff through it again. And I do it again. And she's screaming at the top of her lungs, and we're on the landing. And there's a guy on the bench below, and he looks up and he says, hey, aren't you John Hancock?
He just watched the whole thing.
Yes. And I said, yeah, I get that all the time. Sometimes it's good not to be recognized, is all I'm trying to say.
It's one of those faces, I guess.
Watching you squeeze yourself.
Oh, man, buddy. And when I mean 8 inches wide, I mean, look at me. You know, I mean, I could suck it in for like 3 seconds for a photo. But going through that darn archway was...
Oh, my God. The archways that are made for two-year-olds.
It was really not good. It was really not good. You know, but other than that, though, I love the thing. I mean, she's just a little bundle of joy. She just FaceTimed me a little bit ago.
Oh, she did?
Reminded me of that story.
Oh, that's adorable.
I couldn't take it, but... oh, man. Hey, we got a lot on the show today, Ron.
We do.
Yes.
Well, you do. I'm only here for a half hour.
Now, we're going to do five questions with Chris Ranji.
Oh, really?
When we come back.
Sweet.
That's a Glover feature from the good old days.
It is. That's one from way back.
The way back. We're going to do it a little
reviving it just for Chris.
Yep. Five questions. Oh, with Ranji. I've got some sports trivia we're going to do at the last segment of this hour. And if you'd like to join us, Cardinals trivia, to be more specific, you can call us at 436-7900. That would be lovely. That's area code 314. Jim Talent is going to join us in the 2 o'clock hour today.
Jim Talent.
Really interested to get his take on the threat that China poses. It kind of waltz around the world a little bit and find out all these conflicts going on. And then Michael Kelly from his deathbed.
I love Michael Kelly from his deathbed.
In the Central West End, he's going to tell us about his COVID experience, which I'm sure will be fascinating for all of us.
You know, I was just thinking about this. Wouldn't it be strange if your last name was Talent, but you couldn't do anything well?
Yeah, that would stink. Yeah, it would. But fortunately for him, that's not the case here.
Andrew, you got it?
I do, okay. Yeah.
My wife signed me up for a garage sale, Ranj.
Oh, a garage sale.
I
love them.
It's the worst.
I love them.
And I had no say in this. I mean, it's just the decision was made, and I had nothing that I could do.
You're going to have a great time.
Yeah.
You're going to love it.
That's going to be miserable. Bernie Miklas in the 4 o'clock hour.
Bernie.
Such a great day, and Andrew's going to be with us the whole time.
It's Friday, baby.
It is Friday.
And let's go.
Friday. Ranji's going to be back after this most important news item after this on KMOX. Remember that chubby guy at the Buffalo Bills game a few years ago that was air guitaring to this Tom Sawyer? It went viral.
I do remember that.
Yeah. It was incredible, this guy. He's just air guitaring to Tom Sawyer.
I don't remember this.
Oh, you got you'll find it.
Do you guys consider that to be a skill?
Yeah.
Well, air guitar? Guy,
yeah.
No.
Air drumming. Oh, of course it's a skill.
Air drumming can be a skill.
Yeah, nailed it. He's sitting there in the stands. I mean, it's pretty remarkable. And he's the last guy you would suspect doing the Neil Peart's.
Well, fat guys can do things.
Well, thank you, Ranj. This is a segment that the DGS, by the way, it is the DGS, and by the way, I'm John Hancock in for Dave. The whole crew will be back here on Monday, but I'm here on Friday. So this is a segment, what's the origin of this segment, Andrew? You're the historian of the DGS.
Well, the origin is that for the entirety of the DGS's existence, we have had a lot of time on the air that we need to fill by talking.
Oh.
And so, that's you know, it's a,
yeah,
it's you look for the difficult. Classic, conversation starters, because those can be fun, and it can be a fun way to get to know each other and have the
audience.
This is
kind of how you, this is good.
Like a date.
You could do this on a date. Now, so Ranj and I are on a date.
Oh, wait, these questions are literally for me.
Yeah, yeah, I'm asking you these questions.
Ranji, I think if you did this on a date, I think that you would not have a second.
I'm hoping to elicit positive reactions.
If you had a list of questions to ask your date, I think she would be very unhappy about that.
If I pulled out a piece of paper
with a bunch of questions on it.
I think that would be very funny.
She'd be like, I don't think he's ever spoken to someone before.
Just real quick, have you guys seen the show Love on the Spectrum?
Uh-uh.
Okay, it's on Netflix.
Yeah.
And it is. It's people who are autistic, and they're. Yeah. It's a show about them trying to find love,
and do they?
You think it is. It's actually really adorable because nobody on the show has bad intentions. They're all just very innocent, and they're trying. And there's a guy that they do a speed dating round with other. I think all the people involved have some sort of autism or something, and
uh-huh.
So he's. He's asking her questions, and he says, "So, do you like it's? Do you like nature, or do you like? Or yeah, I think it's what it was. Do you like nature?" And she says, "Well, I'm more of a city girl." And he's like, and he's got the piece of paper in front of him with the names of all the people he's going to date, and just right in front of her, he writes no next to her name. And then the date ends, and the producer says, I forgot his name, like Colin or something. He's like, Colin, did you mark no right in front of her? And he's like, should I have not done that? And they're like, no. It's well, so adorable.
That is adorable. Oh, so that's what we're going to do. We're going to ask these questions here that Andrew has so skillfully and lovingly prepared.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like nature?
I'm more of a city guy.
Yeah, right. Okay, no. All right, here's the first one there, Ranj. Do you prefer to cook for yourself or eat out?
I much prefer eating out.
You do.
If I could do anything all the time and it had no cost,
yeah,
I would absolutely. Because people Same. Do it better than I can do
it.
Do
you cook?
Yeah, I'm not very good at it.
You're a bachelor.
You know what, though? Things I've noticed do taste better when you make them yourself.
Yeah.
Because I will make something and I'll be eating it thinking, this is pretty good. And then I'll like try to step back a little bit and go, you know, if I got this in a restaurant, I would be pissed.
Who whips
I'd be
up
like,
the,
if I got this in a restaurant, this would, I'd be so mad.
Really?
But it tastes good that I did it.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
How about you, Andrew? Who whips up the grub at the Stoltz household?
That would be Megan, but yeah. I'll be honest, neither of us are really all that much a good. We're discovering a joy in it. We've been making dinner for my dad a lot. He has a nice big kitchen.
Oh, okay.
And so we've been going over to his house, and we've been cooking for him. There we do that a couple times a week.
So I never have cooked, and up until recently. And we're in this dinner club, so I did one dinner for the dinner club. It was really good. Lobster ceviche.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah.
It was very good. Then I made, a couple of years ago, there's this Greek dish that I love called pastizo. It's Greek lasagna. And it's got the bechamel sauce on top, man. So I got the recipe. I bought all the stuff. I made it. It was incredible.
Yeah.
So so there you have it. So you too can do it.
I have also thought that your enjoyment of cooking is directly related to how cool your kitchen is.
Yeah, my kitchen's not very cool.
If you got a cool kitchen, you're going to love it.
Yeah. No. Yeah. That is true. Okay. What is the most disgusting but good food you've ever had? That's another one of Andrew's
questions. Think of something gross, but maybe something that tastes kind of good.
Gross. I don't feel like I like anything gross or.
Are there foods that you won't eat because of the way they look?
Not really.
I've got one.
I had cicadas.
Yeah,
you did eat cicadas.
Those tasted pretty good.
They were all ground to pulp, though, weren't they?
No. They were on a cracker.
A whole bunch of sickies.
And they look like a cicada.
Yeah,
I was
little.
Here that day.
Yep. Yeah, they were little.
And I wouldn't eat that sucker.
It was delicious.
No.
It was sautéed in garlic and butter.
I would not eat that. We had the other guy. What else? They're eating crickets and stuff. I mean, people are sick out there. But I will not eat, because of the way it looks, a tomato.
What?
Interesting.
Yeah, well, it's got all that little, like, you know, little larvae in there.
And it's real juicy, too. I don't like the juiciness of it.
Come on.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like it's a petri dish with all kinds of bad
I could,
stuff.
I enjoy
on.
A tomato product, like a marinara sauce.
Oh,
whatever.
Yeah, now give me the tomato sauce. Tomato I'm all
paste.
Over it.
I'll tell you what I like. Tomatoes, and you put a little pepper on them, and just eat them like an apple.
That's insanity.
It isn't.
That's gross.
You have the pepper shaker. You take a bite out of the tomato, pepper in the bite.
Oh, man. That's
another bite, pepper in the bite, another
that's,
one.
That's really
it's great.
Upsetting.
So, but yeah, nothing disgusting that tastes good that comes to
Not
comes
that
to
I can mind. Think
right,
of,
we're
no.
going to move on to question number three, then. That's good. That's how you do this five-question thing. You got five questions over here. And then
we should stop at four.
Yeah. Well, let's see.
Just
well,
to tease everybody.
Who is seven. The craziest person, present company excluded, that you've ever met?
The craziest person
that
I've
could
ever
be,
met.
That could be, like, criminally frightening. Like, have you ever met John Wayne Gacy in your time?
I have not met John Wayne Gacy.
If you were one of the kids that escaped.
That's a great question.
The craziest person you've ever met. I'm trying to think here.
Oh, dude.
That's some pretty crazy people.
Probably one of my exes.
Yeah? Yeah?
Mm-hmm. I got one who is a...
Misogyny.
Looney Tunes. Well, she's... That's not... anything to do with misogyny.
Just so happens.
I've only had one crazy ex.
How long did you date this Looney Tune?
About a year.
A long year time, right? With a Looney Tune?
Yeah. If it's the one that
one
I'm,
year
it's,
with
is it the one
Looney
that I know
Tune.
Of?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so.
No,
she
a
seems a little wacky.
Oh, wait a minute. At what point did you realize that she was crazy?
About 6 months.
Oh, okay. It took 6 months to figure out.
About 6 months.
She's really good looking, John.
Oh.
I have limits.
She's extremely attractive.
Oh.
So she had about limits. 6 months of hotness tacked on, too.
Okay. All right.
She's a lot better now.
Oh, well, good.
She got therapy, so she's better.
Oh, okay.
Did I ever tell you, John, that I live next to an axe murderer?
No.
You did?
Yeah, I did. And now, the house where I'm currently living, yeah.
The axe murderer.
Mm,
they literally used an axe to kill somebody.
Yeah. He and his buddy...
His buddy.
Killed his buddy's girlfriend.
Wow.
With an axe.
Yeah, and chopped her up and threw her parts off a bridge. And
oh.
What's the guy not... Why is he not in prison?
He is.
So was he living there when he did it all?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did they do the axe thing there at the house next
to him? No, they didn't do it at the house, okay. Which is good.
Yeah.
Other things happened at that house. That house is kind of cursed. The house next to mine.
Ooh. That's like one of those real crime shows.
Yeah.
So they and his buddy are both in prison because after they threw her parts off the bridge, her parts like washed up and they were able to find them pretty quickly.
Oh, damn.
And then they figured out what happened. Yeah.
Wow.
He was a Nazi in a biker gang, and so yeah, I was not super sad to not see him living next to me anymore.
To all of the faithful female listeners out there,
yeah,
if you find yourself dating a Nazi biker gang member,
mm-hmm.
Probably best to avoid that relationship
unless just she's into it.
Little public service announcement.
Yeah,
just trying to. Now that's crazy stuff. Did you know this guy?
You know, I kind of tried to keep my distance as best I could once I saw all the Nazi paraphernalia in the garage.
Oh my.
But you know, he did like one time there was a bunch of snow in the driveway and he helped me push the car into the driveway. So, you know, thanks for that. And, another time I was taking my garbage, out to my garage.
Yeah.
Which was like kind of next to his garage. They were adjacent to each other.
Yeah.
And he came running out of his house shirtless with a baseball bat and started kind of swinging it at me. And I was like, screaming, like, what are you doing?
Did you say, I did not see that coming?
Well, he was like, oh man, I'm sorry. I thought somebody was robbing you.
So did he hit you with the baseball bat?
No, he did not hit me. He saw it was me, he stopped.
For the Cardinals then.
And he's like, I thought somebody was
can't
breaking.
Can't hit Andrew with a baseball bat. You're,
God.
I mean, I'm just saying.
And he thought somebody was breaking into my garage. And I was like, nope, just me. And for the record.
Yes.
Let him have it. I got nothing. I'm putting garbage in there. Like, nothing's in there. It's not. I would rather let somebody steal from the garage than have you beat them to death with a baseball bat.
The audacity of a guy to come next to go to the next door neighbor's house he thinks is getting broken into and intervene. You know, who's this guy think he is? Like, you're going to come home, one night and there's going to a dead guy on your property. He's like, yep. Guy was trying to break into your house, Andrew. Don't worry. I killed him.
Yeah.
You're not going to want that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that wasn't like his biggest problem, I think. But
No, you're chopping up people's girlfriends out there.
That's bad.
That's not
then
good.
There was the dog incident, because this is the next incident? People that moved in.
So the axe murderer has left.
He's gone.
He's gone to somewhere. What state
prison.
Are we in here? Illinois?
Illinois, yeah.
Okay. So he's in Joliet or somewhere.
And so the next people who moved in was like a younger girl and an older lady.
Okay. And possible mother-daughter situation?
Grandmother-granddaughter, likely.
Uh-huh.
And so one day it's about, I don't know, 12:30 in the morning. I'm awake. I'm playing video games. And I hear a screaming from the street. And I look out the window and the younger girl, who was kind of a criminal, the cops had been looking for her a few times.
Where do you live?
One time, we'll get to that. One time the cops apprehended my wife thinking that it was her because she did not have her ID on her. And they said they knew they were looking for like a youngish woman.
Yeah.
And so they apprehended my wife and they're like, are you Sandy Rodriguez or whatever? And Megan's like, no, that's not my name. He's like, well, I don't believe you, so I'm going to detain you until you can prove your identity.
Awesome.
So they detained her until she could, because she was just out in like going for a walk in our neighborhood, so she didn't have like her identification on her. So I had to either me or my parents had to, because they live in the same neighborhood, they had to provide her. They had to like show up and be like, here's the situation.
So what's the end of the story with this young
girl? End of the story. So she's rolling around the street screaming, help me, help me. And everything in my body is going, oh, don't do this. Don't go out there. But I did. I go out there and she's like, you have to go in there. It's horrible. It's horrible. You have to go in there, to the point of the house. You have to go in there right now.
Grandma's going nuts.
And then a car pulls up like a GMC Jimmy pulls up, and then she just goes, okay, I gotta go, bye. And then she jumps in the passenger seat, and this car takes off. So I don't know what to do. I don't know what's going to happen. So I shouldn't be telling this, but I've told the story before, so I'm going to. So I go and I retrieve my handgun that I owned at the time. I don't know what I'm walking into.
Man, this is escalating quickly.
I don't know what I'm walking into. I did call the police before I did that.
Yeah.
The police later advised me that I should not have done that. I should not have walked in there at all
with a loaded weapon
into somebody else's house with a weapon. You don't go into somebody else's house strapped ever.
That's pretty good advice there. That's
pretty
good advice.
So I go in there, and the lady, the older lady, an older, larger lady.
Yeah.
Is
why does the larger have anything to do with it?
Well, we're about to find out.
Oh.
It comes into play.
Oh.
I go in there, and there is blood everywhere. There's blood on the walls. There's blood on the floor. There's blood on the ceiling.
It's like Charles Manson living next to him.
There is, like, steam in the room. There's so much blood everywhere. And she has slashed up her two little dogs.
Oh.
And, like, stabbed them and, like, cut just an absolute
mess.
What the
hell?
There's blood everywhere. And I said, are you okay? What happened in here? And she said, "Oh, they pissed me off." And she's holding this blood soaked knife.
How old is this woman?
I would say like late 70s, maybe.
God's Lord!
And she's holding this bloody knife
That's not the first dog that woman's ever killed.
No, yeah, dog parts. There's literally blood all over everything. And so I said, "Okay, just stay right there. I'm gonna help you. It's gonna be fine." And then
you cleaned up the whole mess, and you were the fixer.
Yeah. Then I was like, look, I got a guy.
The cops showed up.
We're going to make this like it never happened. Yeah, the cops did show up, and I kind of turned it over to them at that point.
Are those people still living next door?
Nope. They have also departed.
Lord. Hey, this is incredible stuff.
This is what Five Questions turned into.
Yeah, that's true.
That's why we do it. We didn't get to all five, but who cares? It's a Dave Glover show.
You know what's so funny is read the last question on the list, John.
What's the most annoying thing a neighbor of yours is?
Oh, I got one. Mine used to sing real loud.
Yeah, we'll be back. Welcome back to the DGS. John Hancock sitting in for Dave Glover. The whole gang will be back here on Monday. Chris Ranji is sticking with me. Scribbled out some trivia questions for our great St. Louis.
I'm bad at trivia because I don't know anything, but go ahead.
All right, I'm going to name four famous Cardinals.
Okay.
You're going to tell me which one of them never had a 40 home run season.
Go.
All right. The great Rogers Hornsby. The big cat, Johnny Mize. Stan the Man Musial. Or Jimmy Ballgame, Jim Edmonds. Which of those Cardinals never hit 40 home runs in a season?
Edmonds did, right?
He did.
So, Johnny Mize.
He did.
He did. Then I don't know anything, John.
Stan Musial.
He never hit. Musial
39 home runs was the most he ever hit in any one season. Yeah, isn't that an interesting question?
It's almost a trick because you would never think.
Exactly. Because he's got the most home runs in Cardinal history.
Yeah.
As a Cardinal, 475 of them. Tying him on the all-time home run list with the great Pirate slugger, Willie Stargell.
Oh.
475 career home runs.
Just
a little bit of information. At least three Cardinal catchers have won the coveted Gold Glove Award. Can you name three Cardinal catchers who have won the Gold Glove Award?
Matheny,
yes.
Yachty.
Yes.
I don't know. Porter didn't, right?
He did not.
Don't know.
That would be Tom Pagnozzi.
Tom Pags won
19,
one?
He won two he of did? Them, I think. Oh. Yeah, in the early 1990s. Am I right about that, James? Yeah, James doesn't
James know. Like, I don't know.
All right. Okay.
Andrew, you know?
No.
Yeah, nobody knows.
All right, here's a baseball question. Which professional baseball... Oh, we got to go, don't we?
You can ask one more.
All right. It's at least 50 years old. They've never produced a most valuable player. Baseball team.
50 years old, never produced a baseball team?
Yep.
I don't know.
That would be the New York Mets.
Mm.
Jim Talent joins us after this.